All right, if you'd like to turn again to Colossians chapter 1. And our verses this morning are going to be Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. So you can follow along with me as I read aloud. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you. Just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Let's pray and ask the Lord for help. Lord God, Father, you are El Elamet, Lord. You are the God of truth. And Father, we exalt you and magnify you in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you are our God, our Creator. Lord, you are the God who speaks, and you have spoken to us in the word of prophecy, Lord, the prophecy of Scripture that we have before us here this morning. Lord, within it, Lord, you give us your plan for redemption for fallen sinful men, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is able to make one wise unto salvation. Lord, the hearing ear and the seeing eyes, you have made them both, Lord. And so we need your help this morning. Father, that we would not just listen to the word and leave and be like the man who looks at his face in the mirror. He looks at himself in the mirror and he forgets what manner of man he was and he makes no changes at all. Lord, that we wouldn't be an auditor of the word of God and sit and listen but have no intentions of obeying and putting it to practice. But Lord, rather that we would be like the wise man, Lord, to hear the word of God and obey it. Lord, for your people, your law, your word is not troublesome. It's not a burden. It's a joy because of the great love that you poured out on us at the cross. And so, Lord, we just ask for your help, Lord. I ask that, Lord, if there are any here who are new to hearing the good news, the gospel of your Son, that, Lord, that they would hear and believe. Lord, we know that this is a supernatural work of your Spirit. It is the grace of God. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would be at work. And Lord, for those here that have trusted in the Lord Jesus, I pray that, Lord, that this message would compel them, Lord, to serve you in the work of the gospel and the ministry of the gospel. And we just pray these things. We ask you, Lord, for help in your name. Amen. Many, many years ago, when I was a young boy, way, way before smartphones, and even before answering machines, you would get a call and you would have to get a message. You'd have to take a message from somebody. And I remember being a young boy, and at that point, you know, we had phones that were mounted to the wall, and they were higher up on the wall, and they had long spiral, you know, cords. You know, you had a long, long one so you could talk on the phone and you could sit on a chair and, you know, you weren't like married to the base of the phone, you know. But when I was little, I remember I could jump up and I could knock the phone off the receiver and I could answer it. And there were several times that, you know, I had a lot of sisters and brothers and I'm the youngest of eight. And so I'd get a call, you know, I'd answer the call and someone would say, "Oh, hey, is Darla there? Or is Jackie there?" Those are some of my sisters. And I'd say, "No." And they say, okay, can you give them a message? Can you tell them that Teenie called or Mary Beth? I say, oh, yeah, I'll tell them. And I'd hang up the phone and then I would forget to tell them. And so, you know, a couple days would go by and then, you know, my sister would say, hey, Teenie said she called me. Why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'd feel terrible, but I forgot. I forget to tell them, you know. And so the person calling was upset because, you know, they're waiting to get a call back from my sister. And then my sister's upset with me because I had the message and I didn't deliver the message, you know. And, and this probably has happened. Nowadays, all we do is shoot a text and I can give the message. If I want to give you a message, it's from me to you. And, you know, usually people respond real quick to that. But, you know, back in the dark ages, you had to get a call and get a message and you had to deliver it. But oftentimes, if a message is good, like you're sharing good news, something good happens, you're more compelled to want to tell that message. And I remember I was working and Sandy and I were newly married and I got a call from her and I'll never forget it. You know, she said, I took a pregnancy test and it was positive. I was like, oh my goodness, you know. So I just, you know, talked to my supervisor and I just went home. And I remember I was driving home and I had to go the turnpike. And I remember I'm talking to her about it and I get to the terminal and I'm holding out my hand, you know, and the guy's like waiting for me to pay him. And I'm like, I was like out of my mind, you know. But it just so happened, you know, I get home and she shows me the test and it was positive, you know. And it was April Fool's Day. But it was the truth. It was the truth. So we're calling everybody to share that good news. It's April Fool's Day. And so I'll never forget my little nephew, Nate. You know, he's like, Uncle Chris, it's April Fool's Day. And he's like, call me tomorrow and I'll believe you. You know? But, you know, it was good news. We were having our first child, and we were so excited. And so, you know, I wanted to share that with everybody. I was so excited to tell that story. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about not just good news or an important message, but the most important message that you could ever be entrusted with to tell anyone. And this is the message of the gospel. It's the message of the gospel. This word gospel in the Greek means euangelion. It's actually a word that means good news. And this is a word that if there was a war, there would be someone at the end of the war that would travel back and give the news from the battle. And the way that they would be dressed, possibly wearing some garland around their heads or waving a signal, this would communicate the good news of victory from the war. This was good news. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. The good news of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. What is the good news? What is the gospel? We hear that this is good news, that it's God's good news. It's good news to us. This is clearly the most important message that we could ever hear. What is it? If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 1 through 4, Paul gives a very, very good definition of the gospel. He says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul explains that the good news is the good news that God sent His Son. and his son died for you, for your sin. And he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. Well, we go back to our verses in Colossians chapter 1. We see that Paul is writing this letter. And Paul was imprisoned at the time, and he's writing from Rome. So he was a prisoner in Rome. And, you know, today, you know, someone said, oh, you know, I'm going to go get some good counseling. Usually you don't go to a prison to get counseling, right? You don't get counseled from a prisoner. But today I want you to take this advice from this prisoner in Rome. Paul was in Rome because he was in prison. This was his first imprisonment in Rome. And he's writing to the church of Colossae, this church that it seems as though they met in a house by a man named Philemon. And this was a church that Paul didn't directly establish, but a man named Epaphras that we look in verse 7. He was the one that was converted from Paul's message, that he heard him preach the gospel in Ephesus, and then he went back to Colossae, his hometown, and he ministered the gospel to them there. And he taught them the gospel, and many believed. But this church was under attack. There was false teaching that was going around that was trying to undercut and dilute the gospel, trying to add to the gospel some spiritual fillers such as the law of Moses or mysticism or, you know, the wisdom of the day or asceticism. And Paul's saying no in this letter, that Christ is sufficient. He's sufficient to save you. He's sufficient to sanctify you. He is sufficient to reconcile you to God. And so Paul gives us four lessons about the gospel here in these verses. And so we're going to look at these four very important lessons about the gospel from this prisoner in Rome. And the hope is that you will take this message and that you will deliver it. That this message will not die with you, but you will take the message of the gospel and you will preach it to others. You will take the message and you will deliver it. This is a message from Paul. And the first thing is that the gospel is the message of truth. So this is number one if you're taking notes. The gospel is the message of truth. Notice in chapter 1, verse 6, at the very end of, verse 5. Paul says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. The word of truth, the gospel. And actually also, if you look down as well to the end of verse 6, he says, also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. In truth. This is the most important message. This is a message that we must deliver because the gospel is the message of truth. And as a parent, you hear your kids talking every once in a while. Parents, you can attest to this. And you hear them talking about something or other. And you ask them, where did you hear that? You try to track down, you know, where they heard that, what they're talking about. And you're trying to, you know, who told you this? You know, where did you get that from? Why are you saying that? As a matter of fact, if you've ever heard somebody explain something to you, they may try to solidify in your mind that what they're saying is true by saying, this is the gospel truth. You ever heard that? Somebody says, this is the gospel truth. It's the gospel truth. And what they're not doing is they're not telling you this is the gospel. But they're saying, what I'm saying is true, just as the gospel is true. And they say that, and you know, this has been said for many, many years. So the gospel has always been associated with the truth. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we see very similar language here. Paul says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Paul, this prisoner from Rome, is telling us that the gospel is the message of truth. Notice in chapter 1, verse 1 of Colossians, Paul describes himself as an apostle. Okay, and so that word apostle means sent. And if we look at this, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. That Paul was someone sent by Jesus, and he was sent with a message. And so again, now in our day and age, many people proclaim that they believe something that is true. But we as Christians say we have the truth. This is the truth. And whenever you hear somebody talking about something or making a claim, you try to investigate, where did that information come from? My wife always kids with me, you know, we kid back and forth about this. Well, you know, they say that, bacon's not good for you. And Jim Terlecki would say, no, that can't be true. You know, who's they? Who's they, right? Who's they? Oh, they say nowadays, they. Well, who are these people? What are they? How can we be sure that what they're saying is true? Well, I want to explain to you, and what Paul is explaining to us, is that we can have confidence in this message of the gospel because this message is from God. If you look with me to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, and I want you to follow along with me. Here it is, Paul again, and Paul says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. This message is true. This message of the gospel is true, and we can bank our life on it. This is God's good news. This is the gospel of God. This is God communicating to you that this is good news. That he sent his Son, and he gives us terms of peace, and we can be reconciled to God, and we can have all of our sins forgiven, and we can live in a hope of heaven. Remember that this is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel. When we think about this good news, we ought to be very excited to share it. You know, oftentimes we hear things and we communicate things, and you know, we're not 100% certain sometimes that what we're saying is even accurate and true, but we can be 100% certain about the gospel. That this is objective truth. This is fact. And notice what we read in Romans chapter 1. It's solidified in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We think back to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, in Paul's description of the gospel, he says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. That is the mark from heaven, the verification that Jesus Christ is the Savior who came and who died and who is able to bring salvation. So why should you take this message above any other message that you ever hear, more so than any other good news that you have ever heard or experienced? And why should you take this message and deliver it? Because it is the message of truth. Secondly, number two, the gospel is the message for all. The gospel is the message for all. If we look back to our text in Colossians, notice again, in verse 5, he's talking about these believers. He says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. Notice that he says, just as in all the world. It has come to you just as in all the world. This is a global message. This is a message that is meant to go all over the globe. This isn't just a message for people that lived in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. This isn't just for a certain group of people, but this is a message that is for all people. You can tell everybody this message. And this message is for everybody that you tell. The gospel is a global message. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus Christ says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In a very similar verse, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This is a global message. This is a message you ought to deliver because this is a message for everyone. This is for the world. You have this message from God. We're hearing this message from a prisoner in Rome, and he says, go and tell the world. In John chapter 3, verse 16, remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is a message that is relevant. It's relevant. Why? Because all men are sinners still. This is a message that is relevant now, it is relevant then, and it will be relevant as long as we are here. Because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all men are on their way to stand before God. This is a message that is for all men because all men are guilty and in danger of the judgment. Well, you might ask, how is it going to reach the world? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 13 through 14. Paul is quoting from the prophet Joel, and he says this, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he says this, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Remember, this is the good news from God. This is the truth. This is a message for all. But how will all hear? Well, they will hear when people like you and me, who hear the message and believe that this is the most important message of all, that this is a message for today, and this is a message for all people everywhere, and when we go with the message and we deliver it, this is a message that all of us, every single one of us, are responsible not only to hear and to respond in faith and obedience, but also we are responsible to share it. We're responsible to share it. Have you ever had really good, important news and you told a lot of people, but you forgot to tell somebody important to you and they find out? I mean, that's embarrassing. Like, why didn't you tell me? You know, I thought we had a really close relationship. You know, why didn't you tell me? Well, we need to tell everybody, because this message is a message that is above every message. And this message is in you, and you need to go. Right? Let's look together at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Turn with me there. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians and verses 18 through 21. Paul says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word reconciliation." Think about that. God gives you a ministry, a personal ministry, that He's entrusted this word, the gospel, this word of reconciliation. Again, that God has made terms of peace, and He wants you to go and proclaim that God is offering you reconciliation with Him. If you look here in verse 20, he says this, "Therefore, since you've been entrusted with this ministry of reconciliation and the word reconciliation," he says, "therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." The question becomes, are you fulfilling that ministry of reconciliation? Everybody has it that has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the gospel. You've heard the gospel. Right now, I'm envisioning in my mind that many of you have people that you know that are not Christians, because I have them too. And there is always an obstacle. There's always something that gets in the way. But we have to push down those barrier walls. And we have to charge ahead with this message, because this is the only message that can save. Why should you take this message, the message of the gospel, the good news from God? Well, because it is the message of truth. And it is the message for all. Thirdly, if we go back to Colossians, the gospel is the message that increases. It is the message that increases. If we look again to Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "The gospel," at the end of verse 5, verse 6, "which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth." Paul says the gospel has been increasing in them, increasing in all the world, wherever it goes. This message of the gospel is an expansive message, and it causes increase. And he says it was increasing in them and all the world, wherever it goes. There's two ways in which the gospel is increasing here. We see the first is this internal transformation that takes place in the life of the man who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we look at our text, we see some of these fruits of the gospel that are increasing in their life. As a matter of fact, if we look at verses 3 through 5, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven." There's an internal transformation that was taking place in the life of these people. And this transformation was that they had faith in Christ. They were trusting in Him and Him alone. And not only this, but he says they had love for all the saints. That there was a transformation that took place within them, that they loved one another. That they were laying down their lives for one another. That they were serving one another. And that they were growing in this. And if we look at verse 8, when he says that Epaphras informed us of your love in the Spirit, we see where that love came from. Not only was that love increasing in them, tangibly they could see it, he was excited, he was praying for them because he heard of their love for one another, but he also says we heard that this was the love that came from the Spirit. You see, he gives us the way in which these fruits increase in our hearts. That this is a spiritual transformation. And that's what it means to be born again and to be a new creation. And the agent that he uses to cause us to change is his word and his Spirit and the body of Christ. And so their love for one another was increasing. But not only this, but they had hope. This gospel message produces hope in your heart and in your life. I know I mentioned this last week, but again, when I think about George, and he said, "Matt, I want you to read that verse in Revelations that God Himself will be with them as their God, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more, and there will be no more sorrow, nor pain, nor crying anymore, for those are the former things, and they've passed away." You know what? Christians, we suffer well, and we are able even to die well, no matter what the state is in our life, because we have this increasing measure of grace in our life, that we trust in Him and we have hope. But not only internally transforming us, but it also increases with external, eternal conversions. In other words, we see that when we become a partaker of this good news, we go and share it with others. And he says, it was increasing in you. As a matter of fact, we see a case study of this in this man named Epaphras. He said in verse 7, "Just as you learned it," you could follow along, the "it" is the gospel. He says, "Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf." This man heard the gospel and he went and he taught it to others. And so the gospel was expanding. The gospel was growing. Jesus illustrates this in this parable in Matthew 13, 31 and 32. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than any other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." This parable shows the expansion of the gospel, that it starts small. You know, this church, this local body started small. I remember Travis and I and my wife visiting this church in Matt's dad's house in 2006. And we walked in and it's just this house, and we walked to the back, and you know, there's this room in the back, and Matt is walking down the steps. I saw him and he goes back and he opens up the Word and he preaches and we sang together, and James was there, and Jim Howren was there, and you know, it was just a small little group of people. And now look at all you people. Why? Because it expands, it increases if you share it. And so we have to take this message.
We have to plant this message of the gospel in the hearts of men. And so we have to be equipped to do it. And that's what the preaching of the Word of God here, week in, week out, is for. And that's what the discipleship and the courses that we give, and then the one another meetings that you guys have with one another, and the partners discipleship program that many of you are participating in now, is equipping you to come alongside of others in your community, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, to plant the seed, because this seed increases. Why should we take this message and deliver it? Because it's the message of truth, and it's the message for all, and it's the message that increases. And finally, number four. I actually have 4 points today. That's a cardinal rule. I'm breaking it. The gospel is the message of grace. The gospel is the message of grace. Notice once more from Colossians 1:6. The gospel which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard it of it and understood, what does he say? The grace of God in truth. The grace of God in truth. The gospel is a message of grace. I want you to remember something very important. This letter was written from a man, a prisoner in Rome, named Paul. And I would venture to say that no one understands the grace of the gospel more than Paul. Listen to what Paul writes, if you turn with me to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet, for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. The only God be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was a violent aggressor against the gospel, against Christ. Jesus, when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus, said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? And he said, Jesus Christ. Paul, not only did he enforce, but he participated in the stoning of Stephen, a faithful brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have heard Stephen cry out to Christ in heaven. A man who calls himself the chief of sinners, the foremost of all. This prisoner from Rome is crying out to you. And he's saying, this message of the gospel is the gospel of grace. It is the message of grace. And we have to remember that. We are so prone to be prideful in our own hearts and to start thinking entitlement. And Paul says, this is the grace of God in truth. We notice in Colossians 1 again that he says the gospel in verse 6, which has come to you. I want you to think about that just for a minute. It had to come to you. You didn't live your life and say, I need to find this truth and I'm going to go search for it. No, it found you. You lived in a fishbowl of sin and your fallen nature. You live in a world that is cursed and fallen. Your heart is wicked and evil. Even your righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. But the gospel came to you. And that is grace from God. God granted you to hear this message because you're not entitled to hear this. You're not even entitled to be forgiven. Only God forgives by His grace. In Titus chapter 2, we see Paul say in verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." Jesus Christ coming and dying for you is salvation to all men. And he says, that is the grace of God that appeared. The gospel is the grace of God. That we are saved by His grace. In Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, I'll quickly read this. "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." See, Paul understood grace. The Colossians understood the grace of God in truth, the gospel. And that's why Paul said, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man so that we can present every man complete in Christ. Listen. Open up your ears and hear these instructions from a prisoner in Rome named Paul. Because Paul suffered greatly for you and for me and for all the churches. And he rejoiced in his suffering so that he could bring this mystery of faith to us. Paul calls the gospel his own. Do you call the gospel your own? Has it become your gospel? Are you a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? You have the message of reconciliation. You have this message. Break down those barrier walls. Push back against the resistance in your heart. Swallow your fears. Fear the Lord in that place. And go. Go with this message of the gospel. So this prisoner in Rome has left you a message. What are you going to do with this message? Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. You are so good to us, Lord. You are so gracious to us, Lord. You died for us, Lord Jesus. You bore our wrath. You bore our sin. You became sin for us so that we would become the righteousness of God. We don't deserve it, Lord. Lord, as we participate in communion here, Lord, I ask that You would be at work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to take this message from Paul, the message of the gospel, the message that is Yours, the message that becomes ours. Help us to deliver this message, Lord.
for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Not long after John Calvin was in Geneva and he was hired to teach at the church there, after the church service